I've been hearing things about the Spirit moving in America. Like, there's a revival going on, and the young people are really hit by it. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I can sense it in the atmosphere this morning during the worship. It's like, and so God is good. Thank you, Lord, for today. Just speak to us, Lord. We're here. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there are only two types of people. Well, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm so smart, I know to turn this on now. See, God gave us a brain. We can think. You have engineers. You just wonderfully made, right? And just artists and people do amazing things. But unfortunately, man has fallen, right? And we got a wide variety of people here. And I think, I don't know where everybody stands, but in the beginning, the first man was Adam, and his wife was Eve, and God created them, and God told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they disobeyed God, and as a result of that, they fell, and people have problems, right? So even though we're fearfully and wonderfully made, we have problems. And so of these two people, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. And so the body broken down, all our cells is made of, it's the same elements as dirt. Scientists will tell you that. We're made of dust too. And we have this nature. It's an Adamic nature. And it includes all the wonderful things God made, like a mind and everything, and our bodies, but it also, we're fallen. We get sick and die. We have bad thoughts. Like, so it includes this. So the first man was made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, which kind of contradicts the Jehovah's Witness. Just throwing that out there. But the Lord from heaven, the second man. So the first Adam, the one, first man created, he fell. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam it's talking about, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And the result of all this is condemnation from God. When Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. Like, we're already, you know, it's not like Jesus is going to send you to heaven or hell. We're already condemned because we're fallen. So you have condemnation in Adam, in the fallen man. There's sin and there's condemnation. And it's actually in our genes, I think. We have genetic problems, and I think sin is in our genes. So the last Adam. Or the second Adam. Romans 5:15-16, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So the fall in Adam, the first man, resulted in condemnation. Condemnation, condemned. But Christ brings justification, where the judge, remember Pastor Stan was talking about judicial forgiveness? The judge says not guilty. The judge, this is judicial forgiveness. And then we have practical daily forgiveness. But God forgives us, and that's justification. So only two people. The first man, Adam, became a living being. And that's from Genesis 2:7. He became a living being. God made him out of the dust and breathed life into him. The last Adam became a living spirit. Oh, there we go. Wonderful. So I want you to notice something. Here it calls it the second man. That's Christ. And here it calls it the last Adam, right? So could I have two volunteers? Joshua? Come on up, Joshua. And John. Okay, stand right here. So John's first, and Joshua's second, right? Now, does that presume that there's 50 more people coming up? You're like, I hope not, because I don't want to go up there. But so there's two people up here, two people. One, two. Okay, now if nobody else comes up, Joshua's the last one up here, right? Okay, go. You can sit down. So Jesus can be the second Adam and the last Adam. There's no contradiction there, is my point. But also, so the last Adam, he's the last Adam. What it does contradict is Mormonism. Okay, so we got one verse contradicts Jehovah's Witness, the other one contradicts Mormonism. Okay, so just want to make that clear. Sorry. Okay, what happened after the fall? Well, Romans 5:16, condemnation, fear, guilt, insecurity. That's why Adam and Eve wanted to hide, right? They had fear, guilt, and insecurity. And it's because they disobeyed. And then, on top of that, you have fear, guilt, and insecurity as a result of disobedience. And then in their disobedience, they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're not just doing bad sins. They're doing good sins. Like, it's the first Cain, the very next one, their kid, was the first religion, the first religious guy, right? And he had jealousy, and he killed his brother over his own religion, right? So he basically, through Adam, every sin that you could possibly conceive comes from that. So the first Adam and Jesus Christ are also represented throughout the Bible. So you have Cain and Abel. And then, like, for Adam, you have fallen man. Sometimes we say they have an old sin nature and Adamic nature, that were depraved. Anybody ever heard that? You're depraved. The verse that says the whole head is sick, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Like, we're depraved in Adam, in this fallen nature that we have. And what is it? You love me, even me, that song? You're like, wow. Even though I'm fallen, he loves me. And it is our identity. And that's who we are, right? But wait a minute, because we're getting to the last Adam, which becomes our identity. We're born again. Born again, we get a new identity. And the new identity is the new man that Jesus loves. That's our new identity. And so Jesus, the last Adam, we have like faith, promise, led by the Spirit, words like this, right? So here's an example. The law came that sin might become exceedingly sinful, it says. Huh? Why does sin want to become exceedingly sinful? Because the law is a tutor to show us the need for a Savior. So we see Abraham had two sons. How many sons? Two sons. The one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. I don't know if everybody knows the story here, but God had promised, he promised Abraham that he was going to bless all the nations through his seed. And Abraham didn't have any kids. So Abraham and Sarah got really, really old. And Sarah said, why don't you take my maid and go have a kid with her because I'm never going to have any kids. And he did. He took the maid and had a kid with her, and that became Ishmael. And but then later, God fulfilled his promise. He had a kid by Sarah in their old age, and that was the child of promise. That was Isaac. And through Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob became Israel. Israel had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. And they blessed, through that came Jesus, and it blessed the whole world, right? So that was the child of promise. The child of promise was Isaac. So, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through the promise. Which things are symbolic? These are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. So we see he had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Okay, now God wants Abraham to walk by faith, right? Look at this verse. This is after. This is after. Like Ishmael is already gone. And God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So we only have one identity. And you know what God wants us to do with that identity? To take it, your only identity. We'll get to that later. Galatians 2:20. I don't exist. My fallen nature, my Adamic nature, I don't exist. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith. By faith. That's the only life we have, is the one we live by faith. That's why God told Abraham to take your only son. He was the child of promise, the child conceived by faith. That was his only son. So I don't exist. I have been crucified with Christ. So the flesh and the promise, faith, or the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, this concept, because walking in the Spirit is by faith, right? This concept, faith, the same way by faith, Abraham walked with God with faith, just like we walk with God by faith. This concept is in the Old Testament, the flesh and the Spirit. And we can see people who attempted in their own strength to do things, right? And then we can see those who trusted in God and depended on God by faith. And those who believed in the promise or the word of God were not always in the majority. I don't know if you've noticed that, but like Noah, he didn't have anybody backing him up. He looked like a crazy man, right? And then how about Joshua and Caleb? 2 against 10. And not after that, it was 2 against everybody, right? Everybody chose the side of the 10 that brought back an evil report. But Joshua and Caleb walked by faith. And they did enter the land too. And so we have this walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Here's an interesting one too. Romans 7:15. For what I am doing, I don't understand. And what is he doing? What I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. But he doesn't understand it. He says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. So you only have one identity. So it's not you who do it anymore. It's sin dwelling in you, right? That's what he says. It's no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that, what does he know? in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Remember the flesh? Hagar was of the flesh, of the flesh. It was like something that Abraham and Sarah tried to do in their own strength, not in God's strength. They tried to do it in their own strength. And we really have to give up with our own ideas, like, it should be this way. God promised it this way, but I don't see the promise. And just trust God. Like, just trust God, even though we don't understand. And so, basically, when you are doing the things that you don't want to do, you don't understand. And when you're trusting God, you don't understand, kind of, right? Because it's by faith. I don't understand what you're doing, God, because you promised a son, and we're not having one, and we're getting too old. They didn't understand, right? So then they went to their other non-understanding way, which is to try to do the things they really don't want to do. They didn't really want to have Ishmael. They didn't really want to. They were trying to have a child of promise, right? They didn't really want a child of the flesh. They didn't want somebody that's going to be with war for them forever. Not forever, but for till Jesus comes, maybe. You know, like, they didn't want that. And so in me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. I find then the evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. That's the new man, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? How many times do we hear the term wretched? Wretched. We don't use that word much, do we? The song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, you love me, even me, because we recognize we're a wretch, right? When we sing that song, you love me, even me. We're like, you saved a wretch like me. And so this is Paul, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he's a wretch, and he answers the right question. He asks the right question, who? Not what can I do, or how can I change, or who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus Christ. It's not us. It's not how hard we try. It's Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Psalm 103:13-14, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He remembers we're just dust. You know, we're very feeble. Even at our best state, it's all vanity, right? Vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. Everything that I can do on my own, all the horse stables and the vineyards and the women and the wine, anything I do, it doesn't even matter. It's all vanity. At my best, it's vanity. And we're just like dust, because we're going to die and be dirt again. Adam is. Adam's going to die and be dirt again, right? And that's what I'm talking about. God remembers. He knows our frame. He pities us. In brokenness and faith, we can live in the new man, though. In brokenness and faith. And it came up at the men's meeting, and I was already preparing this message, and then this part of it came up, put off the old man, put on the new, and we were talking about it, and Will was like, well, how do you do that? It's just by faith. It's just by faith. That's the only way. It's not like I'm good enough, or I can try harder, or anything like that. It's God's good enough. And so, you know, the Spirit came at Pentecost, but the Spirit moved in the Old Testament too. men have been dealing with this since the fall, walking by faith or walking in the flesh. And faith is how we enter into the Spirit. Humility too, right? And that's part of faith, like to really trust God. And so, you know, Peter, Jesus said to him, who do people say that I am? And he was like, John, the people say you're John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or some other prophet. Who do you say that I am? And he says, you're Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus said, that was revealed to you from my Father. Men didn't tell you that. Flesh and blood did not tell you that. It was revealed from the Father. Adam can't understand that, that he's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. And so here Peter is. He's like thinking by faith. He's walking with God. And the very next passage, Jesus says, I go to suffer and die. I'm going to be killed. And Peter, you know, remember, he's got an Adamic nature, which Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So in his knowledge of good, he says, no, that's not good. In a very pious sort of way, right? No, don't go die. When he realizes he's the Messiah, and now he's telling him, don't go die, in his Adamic nature, from the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so, God says to him, get behind me, Satan. But he was actually talking to Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter, because Peter was reconciled, right? He wasn't like, I'm done with you, you know. He reconciled Peter. And how did he reconcile Peter? He tells his disciples, all of y'all are going to be made to stumble. And Peter says, oh, no, not me. I won't be made to stumble. Well here's Adam. I can do it. I can do it without God. I can do it. Now, God just told him he's going to be made to stumble. He's like, no, I won't. I won't be made to stumble. So in Adam, he's saying, I know better. I don't need faith. I don't need to trust God. I know better. And he says, I'll never deny you. And so the first Adam says, I can do that. And the second Adam would say, oh, God, you know. Please help me, right? Something like that. But so Peter denied him three times, just like the Lord told him he would. And this is the guy who walked on water. You know, he thought he knew what he was doing. And he figured it out, and then he forgot. I was going to say he still hasn't figured out that it's God and not him. But actually, he had figured it out, and he forgot. And we forget a lot, because Adam remembers a lot. And he's like, let me in there. I want to take control. And so, did anybody here ever do something great for God? And then after that, you might not have been as dependent on God. It's like you were really humble. You had tons of faith. And like, I mean, really a lot of faith. And it was a cross. And you did really good. And it was like, I mean, in the new man, in the last Adam, in your new creation, you were like trusting God. And you get through this situation. And then you kind of like, you get, what's the opposite of alert? Maybe a little dull? You drift. You drift a little bit. You drift a little bit. And you're not quite as dependent. You kind of forget. And then you think the next thing that comes up, you got it covered, because you handled the last thing, right? When you were crying out to God, you handled it. So if you do something great for God, stay dependent on God. And that's what Peter was doing. He walks on water, and he's doing these things. And so Paul says in Romans 7, I do the things I don't want to do. A wretched man, Peter says that. I'm sorry. Paul says that. And then he says in 1 Timothy 1:15, I am chief among sinners. Well, isn't Peter chief among sinners? Like, he denied him three times after he knew him, after he's seen all the miracles. He denied Jesus. Well, I think every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, could say, I'm chief among sinners. You love me, even me. You know, you love me, even me. What a great thought. What a great song. You know, it's like you get a song and you know God's in that song. And he's like, try to find the Bible verse behind the song. There's one in there, right? And oh, wretched man that I am. That's the Bible verse behind the song. Oh, me, even me. You know, we were listening to one Thursday night called Gratitude. And the guy's singing, it's like, all I have to offer is a hallelujah. You probably heard the song. But anyway, at some point he says, rise up my soul, sing like a lion, you know, like really worship God. And I'm like, is that biblical? And it's like, David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's biblical. Like, look for that. Look for the Bible in your worship. Look for the Word of God. Like, concentration on the Word of God is the highest form of worship. You hear the Word of God and you meditate on it. And that's what music is, really. And so look for the Bible. And so now, remember the message from Pastor Stan, practical daily forgiveness, washing each other's feet. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it. It's really good. But he talked about two types of forgiveness. One is judicial forgiveness, where we are forgiven, past, present, future. It's gone. It's in the bottom of the deepest sea, as far as from the east as from the west. It's done. It's paid for. Nailed to the cross. And then there's the practical daily forgiveness, where they said, Jesus said to Peter, you're clean. Peter said, oh, if you have to wash my feet, wash all of me. And Jesus said, no, you're clean. But not all of you, well, talking about Judas, but he said, your feet need to be washed. And it's like in our walk with God, as we walk with God, we need to forgive. We need forgiveness, and because Jesus washed their feet, right? We need Jesus to forgive us in our walk with God daily and confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness daily. But also, we can wash each other's feet, because Jesus said to do that to the disciples, wash each other's feet, and we can forgive each other. So, we're still on that one? Yeah. So knowing this, our old man, that's Adam. That's the one, the fallen man, was crucified with him. We reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to Jesus. And we put off the old man. That's the Adam. Put off the old man. And we put on the new man. Put off and put on, right? And how do we do that? How do you do that? By faith. And there's a lot of things it talks about. And Ephesians talks about these things, and Colossians talks about those things. But the end of both of them is forgiveness. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Even as God in Christ forgave you. So the new man forgives. And then Colossians, put off the old man and put on the new man. And then there's a whole list of things that includes, but the end of it is, if anyone has a complaint against another, it cut it off. Oh, it's there. Even as Christ forgave, I must have hidden that in there. I surprised myself. Even as Christ forgave you. How did Christ forgive you? Toda. Everything, right? Everything. There's not one thing that Christ hadn't forgiven you of. And so there's only two people. The new man forgives. The old man, he doesn't like to forgive so much. You know, and he might. Anyway, and so don't forget that our spiritual life is by faith. It's of the second man, and Jesus, the new man. It's not of you, but it is of you, because you're the new man, right? It's you. It's not of you, but it's of you. It's not of your old man. It's of your new man. And so you can say with conviction, my sins are forgiven. I'm perfect. Your new man is perfect because your new man is Christ. And walk in the newness of life. This is actually how this message started coming about. I was thinking about the baptisms that were... Was that last week or week before? That was last week? Seems like it was 2 weeks ago. Anyway, I was thinking about this. Like, we were... It's not when we get baptized, but we were already buried with him, and we were immersed into his death, and we were raised, and we should walk in newness of life. But this represents... Baptism represents what happened. What happened? When he died, we died. Right? Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And then baptism is a symbol of that. It's a symbol of that. And so I love it. Walk in newness of life. Walk in newness. Well, how do we walk in newness of life? By faith. By faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. By sight, you know, we're like, God says, you're a new creation. By sight, we get a mirror out, we start analyzing ourselves. Anytime you start thinking, I, me, it's probably by sight. Anytime you start thinking, him, it's all him, he's so wonderful, it's probably by faith. You know, so like by sight, we look at ourselves and we say, a new creation? You gotta be kidding me. I'm not a new creation. Look at me. And by faith, we say, I am a new creation because God said I am. He who calls things which do not exist as though they do, said it. That's what God said about the baby, the child of promise. He called things which do not exist as though they do. And there was no baby. They were too old. And he said, there is a baby. And it was a baby because God said it. And so Romans 7, I do the things I don't want to do. Galatians 5:17, talking about the spirit and the flesh, contrary to one another. You do not do the things you wish. You don't understand it. But one thing you can understand is you're crucified. Adam's dead. And I live by faith. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith. Faith in what? That's a good point too. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Like that much. In the flesh, we say one of two things. We say, I can't walk with God. I'm a terrible person. Anybody ever said that to themselves? Just me? Anyway, in my flesh, okay, we got one. And her and I, my flesh, we have said this. I can't walk with God. I'm a terrible person. And then, or we can say, I can walk with God. I'm so good. They're both the flesh. They're both the flesh. And then in the spirit, we can say, I can walk with God. He's done it. He's done it. He's prepared a road beforehand that I could walk in it. I'm alive in Christ. He's done it. Ephesians 1:6b, He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Did we make ourselves accepted in the beloved? No. It's not, walking with God is not making ourselves accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. We just walk in that acceptance. We are already accepted. There's nothing we have to do. We don't have to perform. You don't have to do anything. God loves you right now, right where you are, like thinking whatever thoughts you're thinking, he still loves you. And you're also accepted. You're accepted in the beloved before him. It's already done. He did it all. He did it at the cross. So, and when I was saying that, I was talking about your only son, you. You're accepted in the beloved, right? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creation. So take your only son and go. Take your only son and go. Go. Like, where do you go? You might go from the couch over to the kitchen table and crack your Bible. Right? You might go from the kitchen table to church. You might come to church. You might go visit somebody. You might go on outreach. You might go to Serbia. You know? Like, when you go, it's your new man. But, and how do you go? By faith. And that's what we were talking about at the baptism, too. Like, we get saved by faith. We fellowship by faith. We study by faith. We come to church by faith. And that's how you get baptized, by faith. And when we walk with God, we walk in newness of life. That's by faith. And it's like, by faith, in Romans 5, we access the grace of God by faith. I thought, God gives grace to whoever he wants. That's true. But we can get some special access. It says we access the grace of God by faith. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So faith, actually, I believe to really have faith, it's like trusting God. You have to be humble to trust God. Right? You just trust God. Like, God has done it. God will do it. God has a plan. And we just trust God. Amen.